Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler. Just feels good to be back.
Yeah.
Being honest.
Yeah. We're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast, just a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
7 a.m. you can listen to us. Hopefully it starts your day off right.
Yeah, absolutely. Starting your day today, just shout out. Start of Pride Month.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Happy Pride, y'all.
Shout out my allies. Shout out everybody out there. So we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're kicking things off with a Game 5 preview.
Oof.
Can the Clips make it 3 in a row?
Let's hope so.
We'll see. We're going to get into what we need to do well to win that one, as well as what could go wrong. Give you a couple of key matchups to take a look at. Hint, hint. We need the home fans to be loud in this one.
Yep, we do.
And then we have a belated Twitter Tuesday for you. It's Twitter Wednesday. Hey, you know?
Sometimes flights get delayed, you know, sometimes things happen.
Sometimes things happen. We're still so happy to take your questions. As we said, we normally do this on Tuesday, so shoot those questions over on Monday to at Locked On Clips. But we're genuinely happy to chop it up with you anytime during the week. And then in shavings, an interesting broadcasting perspective for the Clippers Game 5. Kids Vision, we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about what is going on with NBA fans right now. What's the deal?
I'm not
quite sure. But all that and more coming up right about now. First, gotta let you know, today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, we got Clippers versus Mavs game 5 at Staples. You're going to be there.
I will be.
It's going to be a good time.
Can't wear any Clippers gear.
Cannot. But you'll silently be cheering on the Clippers. Serge Ibaka, doubtful for this one. Probably not going to see him. Ty Lue also didn't have an update on his injury at all.
Hadn't talked to the medical staff.
Yeah, hadn't spoken to the medical staff, which is fine. He will when they need to. But this is a pretty big game.
Yes. Yeah.
This one... Yeah, I don't want to speak too soon, but I feel maybe too good about this one.
So from a history perspective, somebody brought this stat to my attention that when series are tied 2-2, the winner of game 5 goes on to win the series 80% of the time.
Okay.
It's a big deal. Also kind of wild, no team has won a home game yet in this series.
Oh, yeah. So I guess the first thing that what the Clippers need to do well is win at home.
Yeah.
Like,
what's going on with that? Just, I mean, like,
I don't know. This is crazy. Yeah.
Kind of a funky series, I guess, overall. I mean, I think that our game plans in game 1 and 2 were, I mean, combined with some insane Mavs shooting, but somewhat right. to fault for dropping both of those games.
Yeah, that's a good call. But we figured it out.
Yeah, we did not make a big enough adjustment from game 1 to game 2.
Yes. One adjustment we might have to make in game 5 is that Dwight Powell might play a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of been like the rumblings, I feel like, over these past couple of days. Ty Lue said in his presser on Tuesday that the younger Clippers couldn't really take advantage of it in game 4, but now they're prepared for it if it happens more in game 5. So I just think we need to belittle Powell in the paint.
Yeah.
Like that's why he's there. The Clippers get paint touches. That's how they manufacture an offense.
Yeah.
And we can play physically. So maybe see a quick switch to Zoo or something like that and just be like, all right, man, go for it. Like, but yeah. I think if we set that tone.
You think Zoo is still on the bench in this one?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean.
We won 2 games in a row.
If it's not broken, no fix. Yeah. Well, Zoo did start in game 4.
That's true, but it was like the Gortat start. what else do we need to do well in this one?
All right, so I guess I'm just wondering, can Kawhi and Paul George continue this level of play?
Oof.
You look at their game 3, Kawhi had 36, 8, and 3 with a steal and 2 blocks. Splits were insane, 77, 60, 100.
Someone came, we did a podcast with someone who said that they weren't worried about Kawhi and Paul George offensively.
We're not a receipt podcast.
Unbelievable.
We're not a receipt podcast. So
anyway,
we're not going to bring it up, but.
But what's Paul George? What's Paul George averaging?
Paul George game 3 had 29, 7, and 4 with a steal on splits of 61, 33, and also 100. One thing that's weird, I'm going to rattle out their stats for game 4 too, not to hit you with too many numbers, but it's super bizarre. They both have the exact same free throw percentage in both of these games.
Creepy.
It is creepy. And game 4, you know, Kawhi only played like 35 minutes in this one, which for a playoff game is nothing. Still finished with 29.
Such a big advantage too.
10 and 3 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Splits of just an unreal 73, 67, 83.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George, also chipped in 29-3. He did have three turnovers, which you know is a big problem. Yeah,
for sure. That's a 1-to-1 turnover to assist ratio.
But still splits a 38-50 and an 83.
They played as well as you could have possibly hoped when it mattered the most.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think something to look out for is, can that momentum keep going? Do you think it can?
So one thing that I guess I'm worried about if I'm Dallas is neither of these guys really had to play playoff minutes in game four.
Yeah.
So you're looking at like...
It's best case scenario in terms of what happened with that game and the travel schedule.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like we had a tighter travel schedule between those other games. And now it's like, I mean, it's just so ideal.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. But this is a longer rest than there was in between games three and four. That was the shortest rest of the series. And I bring that up because we talked about this a little bit on a preview for this series. I wondered if having more rest in between the games than they did last season would benefit Luka, because you know, a high usage player
for sure,
a little bit more time off
and he's a little hurt now,
a little bit fresher. So yeah, I expect that Kawhi and Paul George can continue this thing, and quite frankly they're gonna have to
for sure. What could go wrong in this one? Another kind of some rumblings we've heard about is like Dallas might go small ball, and like I said off the top, I think I'm too confident about this one.
Small ball units have torched Dallas during the season.
Right. So if Dallas goes small, like how worried about that should we really be? And I don't mean that in a dickish way. It sounds like I'm kind of being rude about it, but they don't play small during the season. Like this isn't something that they like, oh, well, our plan B is just to go small because we've done that so much.
And how small?
It's just not as, I know like the Clippers had a wild amount of continuity, but they at least had that in much, you know, practice it a lot more and stuff like that. So I'm not sure how worried we should be about this.
Well, I guess the thing
which might bite us in the ass.
I guess the thing with their small ball lineup is it depends on what you can do with Kristaps, right? Because just because of his defensive limitations, as well as if he's not finding a shot, and you know he's not really a post up guy.
The paint could just be wide open with the wrong small ball lineup.
Well,
Dallas.
it truly begs the question of like how small can they really even go?
That's a good call.
Especially if he's not hitting shots. I mean, you still have a 7-footer out there who has the same, you know, defensive liabilities as any other 7-footer, if not greater.
Yeah. So I'm hoping we don't get too much hubris over that, but it'll be interesting. Another thing, we let the Mavs get too comfortable. Like at this point in the series, this is game five. These teams know what each team is running. Doc talked about that a little bit last year. And especially if you were playing Doc, you definitely knew what he was running. But this has been the story of the Clippers defense. You know, if you let them get too comfortable, there's a chance they get hot. There's a chance they make it a lot harder than it should be. Luka is banged up, just for sure. He seems genuinely, I think.
We haven't seen him game five yet.
Pretty hurt. But that doesn't mean he can't drop a 20 plus point triple double if the Clippers don't try and make him score every single point for the Mavs.
Totally.
I think that strategy still needs to be in play for sure. I just don't want to see him get comfortable.
Absolutely. So I got a couple of things in here. A big thing is going to be limiting second chance opportunities.
Yep.
It's interesting because the only game that we outright won second chance points was game four. So we unsurprisingly blew them out. I say it's interesting because that was like their lowest field goal and 3-point percentage. So you would actually expect them to maybe score some, you know, get more second chance opportunities.
That's a good call.
So this is a continuing thing that we need to do because them beating us in second chance points when they were also shooting the lights out.
Murders you. Yeah.
It's impossible to win. It's really, really tough to climb yourself out of that hole. But we have been trending in the right direction in this regard. So I think we just got to, Kawhi brought it up too, like as part of their defensive game plan. They got to limit their looks at the basket.
For sure.
That is, you know, curbing those second chance points. And then another question I have.
This is a spicy one.
This is just kind of an overall question. Has Ty shown a little too much bringing out the small ball lineup? Or, on the other hand, did he wait too long?
I don't know where I'm at with this because I've talked about this so many times on this podcast. That stretch against Utah where the small ball lineup was just destroying.
Won us the game.
That Rudy Gobert and their perimeter defense. It looked so good that you were like, I mean, it makes sense we're not seeing this again if like we've seen it at this peak.
Right. And then
now we need it. Now it's maybe like, all right, that's very clearly maybe the playoff lineup that we should use most.
Agreed.
So I think you're right. He maybe waited too long, but I think we'll only know if he waited too long when all of this, when the season's over.
And I say, has he shown too much too soon? Just because, I mean, after that Utah game, that lineup was kind of put in the back pocket.
Yeah, we never really saw it again.
And I would be very surprised if having this ace up his sleeve wasn't part of the reason we tanked for the 4-5 matchup, knowing that we had this small ball capability to go up against Utah in the second round. But I think it's kind of like, and this is a Doc quote that I actually think rings really true, is like every team tries to run out like one or two new things.
And that's
it. Playoffs.
Yeah.
And like, sure, maybe it catches you off guard, but there's seven games.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? But like, so how much are you really being like, oh my God, I'm so surprised?
Well, the thing that I like about Ty is that I think it varies to the level of how big what those coaches show you is.
Yeah.
Right? Like the new thing that Doc Rivers shows you in the playoffs isn't maybe as big of a gesture, if that makes sense, in terms of adjustment, I mean, that like Ty Lue shows.
We had a small ball lineup last year that we never really went to.
Exactly. So like we did like a tiny bit and it's like,
Sorry, Jamike.
Oh man, shout out to Michael Green. Key matchups real quick. Clippers versus the Lull. The Mavs are going to be angry in this one.
Yeah.
They're going to be very upset about what happened in game four.
I mean, losing two at home? Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah. Knowing that they have the capability to just wipe you on your home floor.
Yeah. And so defensively, I really hope it just like, Ty Lue talked about how we thought Reggie Jackson did a great job of showing and recovering in game four.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know what we're getting from kind of Paul George and Kawhi is really good defense. For sure. But you're more often than not, that's what you're getting.
Yes.
You know, same with Marcus Morris. Nick Batum has been unbelievable. But it comes down to those margin guys.
Oh, man. We have not talked enough about Nick Batum.
There's been so many things. I know. I've been gone. It's my fault. Like, and this goes for the other side of the ball as well. I hope the offense can come out and give the first punch. Because I think each team is going to throw at least two, like, big punches, two big runs. I think the Clippers have a chance to have maybe three. But if the Clippers can weather the Mavs' first big punch due to consistency on the defensive end, doing not really changing anything from the last game defensively.
So
I feel good about it.
Last game was the first time that we led after a first quarter. Do you expect the same in game five?
Oof. You're asking me for a bit of a prop bet right now. Yes, I do.
Love it.
Yeah. And then the last thing, Clippers fans versus not being noisy. I'm not saying Clippers fans aren't a loud crowd. I've been there when it's loud, and it's wonderful. It's a fantastic sporting event. Ty Lue's been begging Clippers fans to bring the energy.
Here's the thing.
So you got to bring the energy.
If you're listening to this podcast.
The man brought the Salmon Polos into the fold.
If you're listening to this podcast, please be loud, even if the Clippers are down bad. Because it's one of those things, like, it messes with your mentality if the fans are silent. And I get it that it's not as fun to cheer when your team is down.
Don't be like Dallas.
Gotta do it.
Dallas fans got real quiet. 17,000 was sounding like some of those quarantine games.
Yes.
Prediction time real quick. One word. Clips win, yes or no?
Yes.
Sick. Coming up, we're going to be answering fantastic Clipper fan questions on Twitter Wednesday. But first, we got to give out the award for this week's Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. And you know who we had to give it to.
Who?
Kawhi Leonard.
What?
Games 3 and 4, must win games for the Clippers. In Dallas, Kawhi Leonard averaged 33-9-3 on splits of 75, 63, and 93, which is mind-blowing.
Unreal.
The man is playing at an elite level on both sides of the ball, which is something that maybe gets overlooked.
Is there a 75, 60, 90 club?
But there is now. He's bringing joy to all Clippers fans. He's helped dig the Clips out of an 0-2 hole. Just can't imagine where we'd be at without Kawhi Leonard. Pour a clobe out for the claw.
Love it.
If you will. Got to give a big shout out to Michelob Ultra.
Get that claw on a clobe.
When I was in Montana, I drank a couple of Michelobes.
They're good.
It was a good time. Maybe drank too many. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the only game.
Could not agree more. We're back with segment two. We're talking some Twitter Wednesday questions.
Yes, thank y'all to everyone who sent these in.
All right, so kicking things off is Clipper Zay. He wants to know, what's your confidence level in Pat Bev moving forward? Do you believe we'll see a return to form this playoff?
This is a heavy question, Clipper Zay. I haven't been wanting to think about this.
Where you at?
Based on Clipper's history, I think Pat Bev is nowhere near 100%.
I mean, I think, yeah.
I think that's like kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I truly don't know. I can't say no because Patrick Beverley is an impactful player who stays ready. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he might come out, only play 12 minutes or something, but hit, you know, maybe one of his two threes, have a nice assist, get a steal or something like that. But I generally don't know. I wish I had a better answer, Zay.
I mean, look, he played 5 minutes in game three and 5 minutes in game four. And those were both, you know, the games that the Clippers really won.
Yeah.
Pat Bev, through no fault of his own, I mean, I think the injury is definitely a factor, as well as some of the defensive assignments he was given in those first two games not really being great. I mean, I talked about this with Joe from the Clipset Pod, who was on this podcast, but like, Luka on Pat Bev,
it's a nightmare.
Already a mismatch.
Yeah.
He is.
Luka is 6'8 and weighs so much more than Pat Bev. And that's not a dig at all. It's just true.
Well, I mean, like, it's just different because we've seen him guard small forwards. I mean,
right.
He has like one of the most iconic blocks in Clippers history. But yeah.
Well, LeBron is mentally weak when he plays Pat Bev.
My confidence level in Pat Bev moving forward is
not as high as it is in Reggie Jackson. I guess that's kind of the test, right?
Yeah.
Because you talked about wanting Reggie to start in the playoffs, and now he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey.
After two, like, not great games, I question the decision.
Yeah. This leads into a question from Michael J. Smith. Should Rondo be the starting point guard for the rest of the series?
No, why change what's not broken?
Exactly.
I love seeing Rondo.
I think if Reggie Jackson has a horrible game the day you're listening to this, people will be clamoring for it. But I just don't see, I think that maybe Ty Lue's version of starting Rondo is giving Reggie, I'll mention it for the second time, the Gortat start.
Oh, absolutely, right? Like, I think that...
To let Rondo kind of see the game and see what's going on.
I don't think it's necessary to make another guard tweak in the starting lineup. I think that, yeah, if things are going poorly or you want another look, why not just sub in Rondo, like have him be that first guard sub in?
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't try to reinvent the wheel. You know, it's not broken. What we've been doing the last two games is working. We need to just continue with that. And I think that Rondo, to me, is just so devastating to a second unit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, that's a mismatch. Danny EMT asks, do you think this series is good to have Mann and Kennard on the floor together for extended minutes? And I don't understand extended minutes in the context of extended minutes in terms of other players or extended minutes in terms of Terrence Mann and Luke Kennard's usual playoff minutes, but no.
Yeah, we're not.
Talk about reinventing the wheel.
If you listen to the last segment, could probably ascertain that Chuck and I are very high on where the Clippers are at right now, but I'm not quite that high yet.
Yeah, I mean, if things are going great, sure. Danny H., this is a good question. How important is it for us to win this series in six? In their opinion, if it goes seven, they have almost zero confidence in the Clippers pulling it off. Win game six, as difficult as that would be, is crucial.
Look, I'm right there with you. I mean,
you're right on board. You threw the saddle right on the horse of no confidence.
Look, I wouldn't say I have zero confidence. But game seven is a game seven, man. Like that's it.
Oh, yeah. Nervous because it's game seven, but I have confidence.
I have confidence, but like it does not matter. You might as well just throw the other six games completely out the window.
But doesn't that
because it doesn't matter. And if it's a one game, take it all scenario.
For sure.
I'm a little bit nervous. Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about that.
I'm nervous, but I'm nervous in the sense that it's just a game seven. I'm not as like, I don't think the Clippers can pull it off because of an ethereal sense.
No, I'm not even talking about like my own sort of weird superstitions with this team, but like in a game seven, if it comes down to the best player in the series, and you're facing a resurgence of Luka, possibly, like if that's even possible at this point.
Sure.
That's not a position I would like to be in.
That's fair. Oh, I don't want to go to game seven. I'm not hoping for the game seven.
But no, I mean, I don't think we're definitely out if it goes to a game seven, but I am not thrilled.
Fair. Very fair. CJ Ram Clip asks, will this 3-day rest and game planning benefit one team more than the other?
I think from a rest perspective, anytime you're getting more rest, it's going to benefit high usage players. I think that that's going to be good for Luka.
And I think the plan, but I think the planning side of it helps Ty.
I think that it does, in that the Clippers just inherently have a little bit more versatility in what they can run and do.
Way more versatility. Yeah.
Way more versatility. I'm understating that. So in terms of game planning, I do think that it definitely benefits the Clippers. In terms of rest, I would say it maybe benefits the Mavs. Not by a large margin.
For sure, because our guys need to rest up too.
Yes, absolutely.
Clip Set 1, which is not the Clip Set podcast. They got big enough. They have burners now.
Love it.
Good for the Clip Set pod. Go listen to that podcast. If Porzingis, they ask, is Porzingis due for a big game? How do we match up if he does come through and play at quote unquote A level? Good question, because that is kind of the, I don't know if X factor, because it's kind of a gamble sometimes, but that's something that could happen.
It just depends, right? But I think that the thing is you just got to continue with the strategy of forcing Luka to do everything. So he's not in as good of a position to help his teammates shine.
Yeah, because Kristaps is only getting the ball if Luka's able to pass. Kristaps isn't creating stuff off the dribble.
Exactly. And he's worthless in the post. So...
so good luck, buddy.
So I not to have too much hubris here, but like I think if we continue with the game plan of like the only way the Mavs score is if Luka scores,
that's
the majority
for sure
of the situation, then I think that we're really in a good position to weather that storm. And yes, if Kristaps is really efficient in those looks that he gets, it makes things a little bit tighter, but I still don't see it being enough to put the Mavs sort of kind of over the,
like in the driver's seat, if you will.
Yes.
Final.
Maybe question. They are in the driver's seat.
I don't know if you want to be in the driver's seat, honestly.
Quite frankly, I do not know.
It seems like there's a lot of accidents when Paul George is driving. Drunken Trent asks a very not seemingly drunk question. They ask, I obsess over defensive switches from the 7-minute mark in game 3 through game 4. Automatic and pre-switching stopped early and became switch smart, fight through when smart, double when appropriate. And the result was outstanding. Can we keep that game plan? I say yes. Drunken Trent, this one's for you, buddy.
Hey,
me too. Hats off to you, Trent.
You absolutely nailed it. I mean, I think that a huge difference that we've seen in games 3 and 4 is just not allowing the Mavs to dictate the switch that they want.
Yeah.
And that was a problem even in game 2 when we said we were going to see Kawhi on Luka more. They were still getting, they were still getting the switches that they wanted. So I think, fighting through those screens – you might not stop him, but you still make things more difficult. So I think that, a switch smart scheme is definitely the best way to go. And
better
just,
than a switch stupid
absolutely. Scheme. You know? Absolutely. Well, because that's the thing, right? Like, I think that when you're dealing with it's a little bit of a thing that's unique to Luka too, because generally, if you communicate a good switch on a guard who is like of average height, like let's say 6'5" or below.
Right.
You're still in a pretty good position, but when you're getting a switch, when you're switching and the guard is now on someone who is, 3 to 4 inches shorter than they are.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as positive. So I think that smart switching is, I love the term. I think that's a great way to put it. So I think that we will see that continued in the game plan. And I think that, I've struggled with this entire series, like sort of the Clippers being able to build off of momentum.
Yes. But the first two games, it was like even in the game, it was like just get 3 stops.
Well, that's
in a
what
row.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like even like in game things, like these huge moments that should be galvanizing moments.
The Kleba dunk.
Yeah.
The Kristaps.
It just
tango. I don't know.
Yeah, just never really went anywhere. But where I feel like we're at right now is like kind of starting to pick up that full head of steam.
Yeah, so we can use that.
Hopefully, I mean, we have the capability to continue it. I hope that we will.
Hope that we do. Coming up, we're gonna talk in the Clippers Kids cast, which is odd,
interesting,
and then as well trying to figure out what the hell is up with NBA fans. But first, Will, talk to me about Built Bars. What's up with these things?
Look, they're the best protein bars on the market, and you just got a box full of them.
I did.
You're already 14 deep.
Hey, I'm good for the next couple days.
All right, look, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors for those with allergies. Sick. The six new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, plus they're soft and easy to chew.
You need it.
You don't want to fight against your protein bar. You want your protein bar to work for you. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. Right now, we have a very special offer for our listeners. For a limited time, you can get a free cooler with purchase. This is very limited.
Limited drop.
You're going to want to get on this. This is not going to last forever.
I'm a limited drop guy now, I think.
So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Now that you're all proteined up, you should throw some money down on some sporting events. Head over to BetOnline.ag. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA is heating up. The NHL playoffs are happening. Hope you didn't bet on the Maple Leafs. And the MLB is in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bet, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON, that's all capital letters, one word, for that 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so we're back with shavings. Kicking things off is an interesting sort of angle from a broadcasting perspective.
I think it's a good idea.
There is going to be a Clippers kids cast for Game 5.
Yes. Pepper Pursley, I hope I pronounced that right. A lot of P's in this segment. Will provide commentary on Bally Sports West during the first Clippers Kids Cast broadcast, where she'll join Clippers radio voice Noah Eagle and former Clippers player and Bally Sports analyst Corey Maggette as they bring Game 5 of the first round playoff series between the Clippers and Dallas Mavericks. This is from Miriam Swanson's article in the OC Register. Go check it out. The Kids Cast will feature graphics that present the game in a whimsical way meant to connect with a younger audience.
Love it.
Some of the real-time graphics layered on by machine learning, seems a little dystopian, will be player-specific. Picture Kawhi Leonard hitting three-pointers from Moreno Valley, Paul George going fishing, and Reggie Jackson's Reggie Vision goggles.
This is cool.
I like the graphic stuff. How much is the kid going to talk? Because I don't think kids want to hear other kids talk about sports. If that, I'm not against it, but like if I was, when I was a kid watching sports, I wasn't like, man, I wish there was a kid like me talking about these sports.
Yeah, so
I'm being cynical.
No, like I don't know. I think that it isn't definitely like an interesting.
Our friend just walked in and was laughing at me, which means I probably was being cynical.
I think it's a different look, and I think that it's important to like bring in sort of a new section of NBA fans and to get and keep people excited about the game.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tune in.
I mean, like, if this is something that I feel like
not all of us can go to the game.
I think that this, if this is something that like connects with you, then like I'm 100% for it, man. Anything that's going to bring people into the sport and enhance their enjoyment of it, like I'm inherently for.
Well, that's a better take than the one I had. I think it'll be a good time. I think it'll do more. So they redesigned they have Chuck the Condor to be more family friendly, yeah, or whatever. This will do 1,000 times better than that.
Yeah.
Chuck the Condor gave a World War II veteran a wet willy. That happened at a game and no one ever talks about it.
And Noah Eagle, I mean, he was part of that Nickelodeon like NFL broadcast. So he kind of has
great
experience in the thing. So I think that like, I don't know if this is the tipping point. If you're a young fan, like I'm not sure what a young fan is really looking for right now. But yeah, if this is it, or if this helps you get into the game or get more interested in it, I'm all for it. That's awesome.
It's going to be funny because, it's going to be a good time. I wish there was slime, but there obviously can't be because of contractual issues.
And who knows? Pepper Pursley might crush this thing. Brian
what if
Seaman
she crushes?
Might be in the crosshairs.
Clippers employ the youngest play-by-play announcer.
Just that'd kidding, Brian Seaman. We love you.
We absolutely love you. No, this will be a good time. I think Pepper's going to do a great job.
I'm excited. I got to be honest. I'm actually kind of excited for this.
Are you not going to go to the game now so you can watch the kids cast?
Well, I'm going to have it on my phone.
you're watching with a 7-second delay. All right, now kind of just getting into broad NBA talk.
Yeah.
What is going on with NBA fans right now?
Oof.
Calm down.
Some terrible behavior from fans. We've had Kyrie with the bottle throw, Russ getting the popcorn on him, the guy running onto the court during the Wizards-Sixers game.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Come on. People just been pent up too long?
Yeah, I think it's that. I think it's, we were kind of collectively talking about this pre-podcast and like the exclusivity of like the limited fans. And everything, I think, might land like sort of a different mentality to people where they're like, oh, I gotta, this is my one game this year, gotta really make this mark or whatever.
Yeah. Been wanting to huck this bottle all dang year.
The thing is like, it's for the fans. I will say that. The NBA is for the fans. It's never been about the fans in a way that, like, you're not the show. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
You're not, and that's fine. Well, the NBA is such a weird... as a fan. Like, I realize that I am not the show.
But it's funny because the NBA. It's so interesting to look at the culture of fandom in the NBA because there were some years when the Knicks were horrible and Spike Lee was the show at Knicks games. Right. Like, he'd be high fiving players or something like that. So like the good stuff was really accepted and that's great. And that's what's tough about this kind of stuff is that it's like this is going to limit some fan access at some point if it keeps going like this.
Yeah, agreed.
Like,
it's a bad look, and we can all just do better and move on.
Everyone can do better. I just don't even... The only good fan who's ever affected a game was that guy who shot those free throws with the Pelicans.
Yeah.
That's a good time. If you go to the Clippers game, I'm sure if you listen to this podcast, you're probably not someone who would get kicked out of a sporting event for doing something like this. Maybe for defending your honor, which is totally different. But hey, that'll happen. Just be chill,
That'd be cool.
Just be cool. It's a fun game.
It's just the classic act like you've been there before.
Just, let's just do that. Thursday's episode, recap of that hopeful victory over the Mavs in game 5. Thirsty Thursday, talking about with what we want to see more of out of the Clippers. Depending how that game goes, that'll be a fun segment or a not fun segment. Then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland... Man, feels good to be back. Have to be back in LA for these playoff games. Will, where should I have told everyone in Montana to listen to this podcast instead of what I did tell them, which was just tie a can around a string, throw it in the river, and it'll come to you?
You can check us out in a much more efficient way on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. Pretty sure we're on Amazon Music. No one has told me otherwise yet. So.
Some guy who tweets at us that we should change our nicknames
listens
to it on Amazon Music. He also he calls me Jonathan and he calls you like Chris or something.
Could not be further from my name.
No.
But
agreed.
Anyways, we come at you, as we mentioned, up top 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
We would love to have you listen.
We absolutely would. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.